The Senate will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Atkinson. Our invocation this morning is from Dr. Andrea Cook, president of Warner Pacific College in Portland.
Please bow with me. Lord God, we come to you in prayer this morning for the leaders of this great state. We're grateful for their leadership and their personal sacrifice on the behalf of the citizens of Oregon. God, we pray that you will grant wisdom to these women and men as they make decisions for our citizens and communities and state. Help them to know what is right and give them the courage that they need as they accomplish it. Sustain them, Lord, with health and strength. Lord, grant each one an extra measure of your grace and peace as they go about their work. We praise you, God, for the goodness of our state and our nation and for giving us the freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you, Lord, for those who serve around the world to ensure that freedom, and we pray for their protection and well-being as they encounter dangers and difficulties in their assignments. In these challenging economic times, we acknowledge the anxiety and fear that besets many in our state and our nation. God, we pray for those who are without work, food, and the means to pay for the necessities of life. Lord God, we ask that you'd provide for them and sustain them with hope for the future. Lord, grant us blessing this day and the work that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our honorary pages today are Brenda Zacharias and Mariella Tapia, and their guest of Senator Winters. Also, Rachel Thompson and Tyler Street, serving us today as guests of Senator Gerard, and Nicole Edwards, serving us today as a guest of Senator Walker. Welcome all of you, and thank you for your service to your Oregon State Senate today. Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dr. Cook is at my desk. Any of you that have an interest in Christian higher education could stop by and say hello to her. She's doing an outstanding job as the new president of Warner Pacific College. I also have two guests from my district, two young people, Andrew and Marilee Jansen, in the South Aisle. These two young people are Andrew is still in high school. Marilee is at Clackamas Community College. Welcome them, please.
Thank you. And again, welcome and thank you for coming and being with us today. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, have three people I want to recognize, two of them are pages today. One is Rachel Thompson. The other is Tyler Street. They're both from Sand Ridge Charter School. And I also have Isabel Ford sitting with me. She's homeschooled. She likes fencing, guitar, piano, singing, and she's in a rock band. So I'd like you to bid them well. Thank you.
Okay. As I earlier gave courtesies to Rachel and Tyler, again, thank you. But Isabel, thank you as well for coming and sitting with the senator today and keeping him in line. He needs that. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm going to ask for Senate courtesies to be extended to one of my constituents who's sitting with me today, Ken Hunt. Mr. Hunt is a retired from the aerospace industry. He had a long time service and living in California, and he had multiple different jobs. Some of those public service type jobs included being a deputy sheriff as well as serving on a city council in California. He's now with his family residing just outside of Cottage Grove. He's been here for about 4 years, and in our correspondence, I invited him to come take the challenge to come spend a day with me and see how our office runs. And so I ask you to give courtesies to Mr. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Hunt, for coming today and being with Senator Prozonsky. And it's an interesting day. And, of course, with Senator Prozonsky's Judiciary Committee, there's always interesting things going on there. So thank you for coming today to your Oregon State Capitol. Further courtesies. Remonstrances. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, I just want to let you know the little problem that we have given our economy. You know, we've asked everyone to take furloughs and days off. So here's my experience and here's how it will impact you. I emailed a question to a state agency the other day and they didn't respond. So I got a little in a snit about it because I needed a response right quick. And I got the response today after I sent a second email saying, where's my response? And he said, Senator, I'm sorry, I was on furlough. And when I'm on furlough, I'm not allowed to check my email. And then someone was in my office just 5 minutes ago, and she's in another state agency, said, Senator, I'm going on furlough tomorrow. Is there anything you need today? Because I can't talk to you tomorrow. So this is impacting our ability to get our work done. I understand we're all pitching in and we're all doing our part, but I just want you to know the reality check here is that while we're in this very short session getting this work done, sometimes that work is impeded because we have state employees who have to take furlough. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further remonstrances? Messages from the Governor.
Mr. President, the Governor informed me he has approved and signed the following bill, Senate Bill 97, 160, 164.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, the Speaker informed me the House has passed Senate Bill 271, House Bill 2163, 2278, 2453, adopted H.R. 1, and passed the following Senate bills as been by the House, Senate Bill 155.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 46 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. We don't have any. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 561, with the conflict of laws.
Passed a calendar. All right, we're going to third reading of Senate measures. Colleagues, we're going to do the first two items on our agenda, and then we'll probably be recessing for caucus. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, in memoriam of Phyllis K. Beck, 1949 to 2008.
Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. Today, we're going to pay respect in a memoriam to Phyllis K. Beck, born 1949, passed away in 2008. Phyllis's mother, Beth Ferris, and a friend, Carrie Doctor, on the side aisle. I worked with Phyllis since 1999 when I first came to the legislature, and she was here every session to deal with hepatitis C, which is one of the least known, recognized pathogens that we have. We have a bill again this time. Whether or not it's going to go anywhere, I don't know. It will be referred to as the Phyllis Beck Memorial Bill. I'm going to read a few comments that people made who worked with Phyllis. Phyllis Beck will never be forgotten for in the hepatitis C community. She turned her diagnosis into a blessing. She made it work for her to help others. She was special. She worked with every person she encountered. There was no stigma, no right, no wrong. There was only another human being that she could help. She wrote a newsletter that was distributed to thousands of prisoners, and I'll get to that in just a moment. She formed and worked with many national coalitions, and she was respected by everyone who had the pleasure to work with her. She never stopped working to make lives better for other people. Ann Shindo, who worked with Phyllis, she is in the Department of Public Health since 2003. Phyllis had access to the Oregon State Corrections, to the penitentiary. And when I worked with her, she talked a lot about going into the prison and working with people who were diagnosed or suspected of having hepatitis C. People don't know if they have it or not. It depends a lot on their background. There are certain things that if they do, they are likely to have it. And the incidence of hep C in prisons is very high. So Phyllis devoted much of her life to working with the incarcerated group, and many of the bills that we had were to create a registry to do vax tests, to do testing. Every person going into the correction should be tested. It's thought that about a third of the people there have hep C. It's a disease that may not manifest itself immediately. And as one gets older, the liver starts to fail, and people obviously will die of liver cirrhosis. So that was the work that Phyllis did. She worked with groups statewide, interstate, nationally, to get the message out. She formed a number of partnerships, and one of the quotes, she was a voice for the voiceless, but she was not a silent hero. Her voice will continue to be heard whenever advocacy is undertaken to assist those marginalized by hep C. In other words, she spoke out all the time. She worked hard and spoke out and died of the disease that she was trying to help educate the public on. We do have a bill. I don't know if the bill is going to go anywhere, but what it would do is set up some testing throughout the state for hep C. There is a fiscal. This may not be the year for it, but Phyllis' names will be attached to this bill and will be attached to other bills that come along in later sessions, as it was in the past, until we establish a Phyllis Beck Memorial Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's an honor to stand up here to honor Phyllis. In 1999, the session Senator Morissette talked about, I was given the gavel of the House Health and Human Services Committee. And one of the first people that approached me was Phyllis about this thing called hepatitis C, which I knew nothing about. Phyllis has continued to approach me over the years. And the thing about Phyllis was she was a genuine advocate. We get lobbied by a lot of folks in this building and a lot of folks with passion, but I dare say very few match the passion Phyllis had for the issue of hepatitis C. And it's been a frustrating journey for us, Senator Morissette, myself, Phyllis, over the years, because we'd come up with simple solutions that we could never seem to take action on. For example, we had a bill to require a Hep C screen when public health did an HIV test, because it's, you know, it's the same risk population. Couldn't get it done. I think I wanted to use part of this time to further Phyllis's advocacy, because hepatitis C is an epidemic that we choose to recognize and we choose to deal with, not just in Oregon, but nationally. And at some point in time, colleagues, we are going to have to wake up to it. One of the frustrating parts about it is that if it's caught early, it's incredibly treatable. All you got to do is change your lifestyle. It's incredibly treatable. If it goes on a long time, it's very expensive to treat. This is the message Phyllis was bringing to this building for a decade. And I think I agree with Senator Morissette, any Hep C bill we propose in the future will bear Phyllis's name, because it's her advocacy that has made my awareness to the level that it is, and I think several of my colleagues' awareness to the level it is. I learned a lot from the lady, and we are going to sorely miss her. She was a woman of incredible integrity and incredible passion. And colleagues, at some point in time, we are going to have to deal straight up and straight in the face with an incredible epidemic that we are choosing to ignore. And when we do that, and when we do the right thing for the people of Oregon, we will have Phyllis Beck to thank.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Morissette, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final adoption of SCR1. Those who are of the opinion the resolution should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Mons Anderson.
Yes.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
President Courtney. Absent, Carter, 21 ayes.
SCR 1, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the resolution.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, Memoriam Vern Cook, 1925-2008.
Chair recognizes Senator Mons Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I would like you to honor former Senator Vern Cook. At my desk is seated his wife, Burl, and in the side aisles are David and Mark Cook. Vern was born in 1925 and died in 2008, and he had an illustrious career. In fact, my father remembered him as his paper boy. That's where the first introduction into my life, Vern Cook, came in, although I wasn't around at the time. He married Burl in 1955, and they raised five children in their home on the Sandy River Canyon near Troutdale. I've been to that home several times because he was an avid Democrat,
and a Democrat through and through. And his wife would bake us cookies, and we'd come and talk politics. I want to just, he served in the House of Representatives from 1957 through 1960, and then he was in the Oregon Senate from 1961 through 1980. So he was in this body right here a long time, and I don't know which desk was his. Where Senator Telfer is seated. That was his desk. I just wanted to share a few comments that the illustrious John Powell, who actually knew Vern very well in this body, and you'll notice that picture on your desk of Vern Cook laughing, and John Powell is the one with his head down. And these are some of the comments that he made that I feel you need to know about Vern. He could laugh, and in a tense situation, he could laugh. And the brunt of his jokes were on himself. He loved to do that. He was definitely an intellectual, and he could speak without notes. He graduated from Reed College. He could remember statutes. He could write statutes by just leaning back in his chair while if he had a scrivener to take down his notes. He was a remarkable drafter of statutory language. He was an attorney, and he had an office in Gresham, but he took on Tom McCall on a tax plan that the governor had proposed, and it was a sales tax, and Vern Cook was adamantly opposed to the sales tax. So they were traveling around the state, and the former treasurer, attorney general, and legislator Jim Redden was on the circuit also. So it was Redden versus Cook. And they met in Albany. It was Jim versus Vern. And Vern stood up and he said, there are four or five types of arguments that you should never pay attention to. And one was the argument of authority. And so he started in. Just because this tax plan comes from the governor doesn't mean it's a good thing. And he went through all of these different types of arguments opposing the tax plan for that the governor had. And afterwards, he got a standing ovation. So Redding walked out of the meeting and knew that they were dead in the water. One time, Vern stood up to speak on a bill that really wasn't before the body. It was the next bill. So John Powell went back to the desk, and his bill, he wasn't really known for neatness, and bills were scattered all over his desk. They were filed right behind the desk. The staff would bring the bills and file them right behind, and right behind the desk. And he said, why don't you file these bills so you can find them? And his response was, oh, those bills, these bills, they're all the same. They just change the numbers every year. So he could really remember what was in a bill. He could answer questions. He could recite the bill verbatim. He really had a remarkable mind. The last thing I want to share is he was considering running against Mark Hatfield for the U.S. Senate. So he went to his good friend Glenn Otto, who was in the House at the time, and he said, Glenn, I'm thinking about running against Mark Hatfield for the U.S. Senate. Do you think I should do it? And Glenn Otto says, oh, yes, I think you should do it. And I think you ought to be sure that he is dead 10 days before the election because he will still beat you. Inside, Vern Cook was a very gentle man. And I really liked him. I admired him. He wasn't eccentric, and he did so much for our community, and I would like you to adopt this resolution and give tribute to his wife and his children that are here. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I had the occasion to meet Vern Cook many times. Mr. Cook was my opponent in 2000. And as all of you know, that when you're on the campaign trail with someone, you get to know them. And it was my pleasure to get to know and meet both Mr. and Mrs. Cook in the course of a very vigorous and spirited campaign in the year 2000. He had an insightful mind. He was a brilliant speaker. And he was a very energetic campaigner. He ran me all over District 28 at the time. It was 17,000 square miles at that time. And we met in Condon in debates. We met in Sandy. We met in a number of different communities across the district, Baker County. I remember very often we would sit down and talk after the community forum and discuss alternate routes to get to the next community forum. And it became a real interesting opportunity to meet somebody who had incredible service to the state of Oregon. And I believe he will should be remembered today with this memorial as a person that had an incredible record of service. So I'm glad to stand on this floor and recognize my old political opponent, Vern Cook. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Monis-Anderson, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final adoption of SCR 6. Those who are of the opinion the resolution should be adopted will answer ayes. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis-Anderson, President Courtney, absent, Carter, 29 ayes.
SCR 6, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the Republicans would like to have just a few-minute caucus back by the water cooler.
Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the musically talented Senate Democrats will meet over by the piano.
Okay. So we will be at ease for the next 5 minutes. Okay, the Senate is returning from recess, and we will continue with the third reading of Senate measures. But before I do that, I would like to recognize Senator Carter. You have a, under courtesies?
I do, Mr. President. Thank you very, very much. I'm kind of lost in terms of whether this is under, but it's under both, okay, if you don't mind. So privileges of the floor, I would appreciate. Today, colleagues, in the Galleria, we're doing Diabetes Day at the Capitol. So I'd like to welcome the people from the Diabetes Association who is on the South Aisle. And I especially want to welcome my friend Sally Norby, who has worked on educational efforts in my district around diabetes. And as you know, how much the cost of diabetes is in terms of the human services budget. Ms. Norby is the executive director of the American Diabetes Association, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. So beginning today, colleagues, at 8:30 until 2:30 in the Galleria are interactive exhibits. So come down and do hula hoops with me on the machine, because that's what we're going to be doing. And we're going to have diabetes risk assessments from 12:30 to 2:30. There'll be blood pressure checks and information on nutrition and fitness. And today in America, I want you to know, nearly 24 million people have diabetes. One out of four do not know that he or she have diabetes. And so this is really very important because it affects our human services budget. In Oregon, 275,000 people have the disease, and 80,000 are not aware. 607,000 have a pre-diabetic condition. So I am asking all of you to know, to remember the importance to know the signs, the symptoms, and the risk factors to prevent or stall development in the disease. So we have a rising epidemic, I want you to know, and it's affecting our budget, and it's important for us to set good examples as legislators and go down, get your diabetes check, get your blood pressure checks, and look at the state of your own personal condition as a matter of fact of informing the larger public. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to your Oregon State Capitol, and thanks for coming and sharing your information with us today. We'll return now to the order, third reading of Senate measures, and the clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 167, related participation in self-pay groups or benefit plans administered by Public Employees Benefit Board.
Chair recognizes Senator Lori Moniz Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 167 is really a housekeeping bill that makes some technical corrections to Senate Bill 4 from 2007. Senate Bill 4 contained many provisions related to shortages in Oregon's nursing workforce and nursing faculty. And one provision added language to allow state and university employees working as nurses or nurse instructors to buy into PEB, medical and dental benefits, when they do not meet the current part-time definition for eligibility. So Senate Bill 4 placed the language to enable this coverage in the incorrect place in the PEB statute. So basically the changes here get it in the right statute, and that's really what it does. The bill has no fiscal impact to PEB. I'd urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Moniz Anderson, you wish to close. She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 167. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Moniz Anderson. Moniz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 167, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 220, Relating Administration of Crime Victims Funds by Department of Justice, Crime Victims Services Division.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder, who is putting on the super S in the... Senator Dingfelder on Senate Bill 220.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 220 will allow the Oregon Department of Justice to seek federal grants related to the Violence Against Women Act and other grants relating to helping victims of violent crimes, property crimes, and crimes of fraud or deception. This bill passed the Judiciary Committee unanimously, and there is no anticipated impact on state revenues or finances. This bill will not change the Department of Justice's obligation to seek approval from the legislature or e-board when applying for federal grants, as required by current law. Senate Bill 220 does not usurp the existing powers of any branch of the state government, but instead it gives the Department of Justice the tools it needs to pursue the resources it needs in assisting victims of crime. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Not Senator Dingfelder, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 220A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 228, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 238, Will Protect Proceedings.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 238A comes to us from the Oregon State Bar Estate Planning Division through the Judiciary Committee, where it received a unanimous vote. This bill enacts the Uniform Guardianship and Protective Proceedings Jurisdiction Act. The bill resolves a number of outstanding issues relating to jurisdiction in cases of guardianship. The legislation is a product of the Uniform Laws Commission, and it creates a process for determining which state will have jurisdiction to appoint a guardian or conservator if there's a conflict between the states. It does not change substantive law. It will designate that the individual's home state has primary jurisdiction, followed in priority by a state in which the individual has a significant connection. It eliminates problems created when parties try to form shop to decide who should appoint a guardian or conservator. It specifies a procedure for transferring a guardianship or conservatorship to another state if necessary. And it facilitates communication and cooperation between courts of different jurisdictions in sorting out these issues. The Uniform Law Commission approved this act in five other states. They will consider that other states will consider this act this session. And hopefully when they enact this law, it will help resolve disputes between residents of our state and the other states that have adopted the act. Many national organizations have endorsed this act, including the National Association of Elder Law Attorneys, the Alzheimer's Association, and the Conference of Chief Justices. Passage of this act should result in significant judicial economy, reduction in wasteful litigation, and conservation of the protected person's estate. I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 238A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Not. Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 238A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will read the will call the roll.
Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter,
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 238A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 356, Wayne, civil forfeiture, property, money, and court emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 356 comes from your Judiciary Committee. It came out on a 5-0 vote. What Senate Bill 356 is basically doing is codifying what has been passed by the voters under ballot measure 53. This is the ongoing review and, let's say, updating of our asset forfeiture laws within the state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Prozonsky. Do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 356A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Schrader. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger. Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 356A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 401, related conditional release.
Chair recognizes Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on April 21st, 2008, the Governor's Office convened a work group composed of various stakeholders to make recommendation to the governor and to the 2009 Legislative Assembly regarding the different issues facing the Psychiatric Security Review Board and its siting process. Over the course of 9 months, the work group held numerous meetings and involved stakeholders with a variety of interests, including representatives of public safety, victims' rights group, mental health consumers, and advocates, as well as local government officials and state legislators. One of the recommendations brought forth was that residential treatment facilities need to be available in a variety of locations so that someone's need for placement can be reasonably balanced with the need to honor a crime victim's safety and respect. Today's patients released by PSRB board are often placed far away from their homes and their support networks, which include those who care about them the most, their families, their friends, and their communities. Because many underdeserved communities don't have a plan in place or the proper resources needed to provide treatment, that is needed, patients are forced to relocate to new areas or areas that are unfamiliar than their service available to help them in the rehab process. Senate Bill 5401 directs the Department of Human Services to develop and implement a plan to provide more service to these underserved areas. The bill before us today is about providing services to rural and underserved areas in Oregon to ensure that those residents have access to the same care that is being offered in larger parts of the state. The Department of Human Services reports that passage of this bill, and I want to emphasize, does not have a fiscal impact on the agency. The Addictions and Mental Health Division currently has a development plan for client patient placement and treatment. Modifying this plan to include and incorporate underserved areas will not require additional staff or additional new costs. Colleagues, I urge and I vote. When I look at the issue of our community health system and I look at the issue of individuals who really deserve to be closer to their
friends, neighbors, and families, I think it is our responsibility to assure that we have a network of services. I also think it's our responsibility to assure that inside of our communities that it is distributed fair and equitable across our state. And with that, friends, I would urge that you vote aye on Senate Bill 401.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Winters, do you wish to close?
No.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 401A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson,
Senator Montes Anderson,
Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 401A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 469, related business activities conducted by minors.
Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This bill is Senate Bill 469. It's a very simple bill. It simply says creates one statewide policy exempting people from under the age of 17 from acquiring a business license. Believe it or not, there was a few cases during the interim in which a city demanded a business license for young people involved in raising money, car washes, lemonade stands, etc. And while this may not be the biggest, most important bill ever to come across our desks, it is important nonetheless, because what we're trying to say is that it's okay to go out and be an entrepreneur. So it's a good bill. I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator Atkinson. Do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 469. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Przanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Rosenbaum. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 469, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 558, relating to commercial transactions governed by the Uniform Commercial Code.
The chair recognizes Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am quite nimble today, and I appreciate the extra time. Senate Bill 558 is a very exciting bill coming to you from the Judiciary Committee, another unanimous vote. This bill revises our state's version of the Universal Commercial Code.
Uniform
and Universal Commercial Code. This updates Oregon's contract law to reflect modern business practices and brings our state in line with over 30 states which have already adopted these revisions. As I mentioned, it passed unanimously by our Judiciary Committee. There's no anticipated impact on state revenue or finances. This bill will make requirements for good faith and course of performance more consistent throughout the code, will eliminate confusing and anachronistic rules related to the statute of frauds. The bill will also update the UCC to better reflect the increasing use of electronic transitions in shipping and warehousing transactions under Article 7 of this code. This bill will provide for smoother, more efficient commercial transactions in our state and will keep our commercial code in line with that of most other states, which will facilitate interstate commerce and business activity. I urge you to vote aye on our revision of the Uniform Commercial Code. Thank you, Mr. President.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. Question of the carrier.
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Do I have to?
No, you don't. Do you yield?
Yes, I will.
Yes, she does.
Senator, I noticed that in Section 50 on page 31, there's a definition of warehouse, but in Section 5 on page 3, it says that words of any gender also refer to any other gender. So can you please clarify for us that the warehouse on page 31 does not, therefore, mean the men's warehouse? Thank you.
Thank you for that excellent and germane question. Senator, we actually did not discuss that issue in our committee hearing, so I am not going to comment on it this time. Thank you.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Dingfelder, do you wish to close?
Do I wish to close? No, I have no close at this time.
Question now rises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 558A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass, let their eyes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk better start reading the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 558A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2163, Related Military Justice. House Bill 2278, Related Judgment and Remedies for Child Support. House Bill 2453, Related Law Requiring Privilege.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Storm Memorial 2, Urgent Constitutional Legislation Assisting Veterans Employment.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Colleagues, today I stand in support of House Joint Memorial 2, which passed out of the Senate Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs. Colleagues, I know you agree with me that this is a critical time for veterans looking for work in Oregon and our whole country. Veterans face complex family, employment, and health problems associated with multiple deployments, a lack of amenities providing by regular military bases, and an economy that is struggling. Advocates note that there is a need to establish a nationwide public works program in conjunction with state employment departments and military authorities to provide jobs for our veterans after their service to our country. The local Veterans Employment Representatives Program and Disabled Veterans Outreach Program are in need of increased resources that will provide jobs for veterans and provide those tax credits for employers who hire veterans and businesses that retrain veterans. These two programs have suffered significant budget cuts within the U.S. Department of Labor, resulting in a loss of employment services to Oregon veterans. This memorial has been shared with the Oregon Congressional Delegation, which is working on a federal legislation and agenda in support of these issues. I urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Senator Schrader, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final adoption of House Joint Memorial 2. Those who are of the opinion the memorial should be adopted will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
House Joint Memorial 2, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the memorial.
HJM 4, urging Congress to pass legislation for transition of National Guard and Reserves to civilian life following active service.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Colleagues, I stand in support with you, I hope all of you, of House Joint Memorial 4, which passed out of the Senate Committee on Health and Veterans Affairs. The Governor's Task Force on Veterans Services determined that the current redeployment system for citizen soldiers returning to their communities provides too short of a decompression period for veterans who have been exposed to combat operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. As a result, these returning soldiers may be suffering from physical or emotional disabilities, such as traumatic brain injury and or post-traumatic stress disorder. Current deployment training is in an orderly 4 to 6 month mobilization schedule designed to prepare the National Guard members and reservists for the rigors and complexities of combat operations. However, redeployment back to their Oregon communities is less than 1 week of training. This is extremely difficult for our citizen soldiers. HJM 4 recognizes that in an appropriate reintegration program of a 90 to 100-day transition, soft landing for National Guard Reserve citizen soldiers provides a system for the soldier and their families to gradually readjust to civilian life, ensuring accessible medical care, time for combat decompression, and reunification with family members. This memorial has been shared with the Oregon Congressional Delegation, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
To the bill, Mr. President.
To the memorial.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I start, I'd like to thank the good chair of the committee for bringing this bill forward to the floor, and the good president of the chamber put a document on your desk that goes back 40 years ago today, and it talks about a freckled-faced beauty who was a Pan Am stewardess who is now a committee chair. And the reason I raise this issue on this particular bill right here, and I'll let you read your desk so we don't embarrass her here on the floor, is that in her duties as a Pan Am stewardess, she flew in and out of Vietnam and on the aircraft that brought back soldiers from the Vietnam War. And a lot of times, when you come back, just a smiling face and a friendly face is the first part of reintegration into the state. Now, I came back from the same war we're trying to address here. And the reason this bill is really important and the reason I'm getting speaking, and I did not go to the committee meeting, and I apologize to the chair for that, but let me tell you what the reserve component reintegration was. And I was the deputy commander of one of the 7 major units in Iraq. I had thousands of active component soldiers underneath me, and they came back and went through a 2-week program as they came back into the United States. I am sad to say, before that program that came back, my unit was the unit that created the programs for the active component, because we had 3 deaths in 3 days when they came back the first time around. Wives shooting husbands, husbands shooting wives. And the program was created as a direct result of that across the United States in the early days of the Gulf War, the Iraq War. When I came back, here is the total reintegration I got as a reserve component officer coming back. I got a slideshow on a PowerPoint with the chaplain sitting next to me on how not to commit suicide. That was followed by about a 6-minute PowerPoint presentation on don't beat your wife. And on the third one was why you should get a physical before you left AFTCA component service. That lasted about 25 minutes, and the chaplain signed the document, and I was released to turn my equipment in, and I actually transitioned in about 1 day. Now, I know there's members of the floor who say that explains a lot of things here. But having said that, we have the best reintegration program almost in the nation right now in the state of Oregon, but we are taking it out of our hide in the state of Oregon to help our soldiers who are coming back to Oregon. And it's about time the federal government apply the same rules that apply to the active component and spend the same money for our returning Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Mona Sanderson, do you wish to close?
I'm not closing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Senator Mona Sanderson, you wish to speak, the Pam Am stewardess, freckled face as she is.
I would like to actually tell you regarding reintegration. I happened to go over to our National Guard, I think last Thursday or Friday, and they were having families and vets all together talking about reintegration, and they had an employment one, they had a health care one, they had just all these different groups working, and I swear there's probably close to 200 people there working on reintegration plans. So the state of Oregon is absolutely doing what they're supposed to on trying to reintegrate our veterans. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a word. You know, the Oregon National Guard is being, at least units of the Guard are being deployed, some of them for the third time in 4 years. I was in Burns this weekend to watch a group of folks with their farewell ceremony getting ready to go and be deployed. One of the things that became obvious in those discussions is that never before in the history of the Oregon National Guard have so many of our Guards people been deployed for such extended duty. So this is a very important issue, and we need to recognize the fact that although we may think we in the state government are facing an unprecedented level of stress, the Oregon National Guard is facing their own unprecedented level of service, and we need to do everything that we can to recognize and honor that service. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes President Courtney.
Yes, I do thank the good senator from West Valley for bringing your attention, one of our colleagues, in this little news article. What he did not say, and what you do need to know, is that, yes, this is a flight attendant, the good senator, is Pan Am, but she's also a commissioned officer in the United States Air Force as a second lieutenant. She did serve in Vietnam, and this was part of her duty. Literally, when the troops would board to be brought out for rest and R&R, she was there as a second lieutenant to deal with that, and she often has told me some very horrific stories. So, flight attendant, Pan Am, yes, smile, fine. This is a commissioned officer in the United States Air Force, second lieutenant, Senator Lori Montes Anderson as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further discussion? Senator Schrader, I know you're not with Pan Am, but do you wish to close?
Colleagues, I just want to thank you for your support this morning. I truly believe that this is probably one of the most critical pieces of legislation that we are going to request from our congressional delegation. Senator Boquist, Senator Lori Montes Anderson, all of us that have worked on these issues know that we are going to be facing a tsunami of individuals coming back to the state who are going to need such depth of services across the continuum with employment, with housing, with social service delivery systems. And they have served us well, and they have earned our respect, and they have earned the right to have the resources they need to reintegrate totally and completely with our respect and our love back into civilian life. So again, thank you for support of this. I know the Oregon Governor's Commission on Veteran Services thanks you for your support. And I know that Oregon will be the welcome home state for our National Guard here in this great state, United States of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading and final adoption of House Joint Memorial 4. Those who are of the opinion the memorial should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass. Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
No
Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. President Courtney, 30 ayes.
House Joint Memorial 4, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2495, Records of State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation, declared emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, the fight over public records between SAFE, Liberty Northwest, Oregonians for Sound Economic Policy, and this senator has come to an end. And I will take my quote directly out of Willamette Week today because I made Rogue of the Week. I don't hesitate a heartbeat over this one. And the reason I don't hesitate a heartbeat over this one is because we've been fighting about what records are public and which ones are not. House Bill 2495 is designed to give the public a single proven means to obtain public records held by SAFE Corporation. SAFE will be under the same public records law as all other public bodies and subject to the same exceptions for disclosure that have been enacted by the legislature over the years. Making SAFE subject to the public records law would clearly establish the right of the public to petition the Attorney General for review of any dispute that may arise over access to those records. House Bill 2495 also provides conditional access to business records that would not ordinarily be shared with a business competitor. The bill maintains the existing confidentiality, however, of injured worker claim files and employer account records, and incorporates a more complete definition of these records as recommended by the Department of Justice. It's been a little bit of a journey with SAFE Corporation, I will tell you. Since 1999, when I came into the legislature, I've been fighting with this state agency. It's sort of a hybrid, you know, public-private, have issues with those kinds of things, and OHSU is another one, and I'll be darned if I, as a legislator, I'll ever authorize that to happen again in state government. But nonetheless, I've had issues with this agency. But I will tell you, they have worked very hard over the last several years to address my concerns. They have stepped up and truly become the agency that helps injured workers get back on their feet and back into their workplace, because injured workers deserve respect and dignity, and often they were not treated that way. This is the final piece that talks about what records are public and which ones are not. And again, I will say, proud to be in Willamette Week's Rogue of the Week this week. I don't hesitate a heartbeat over this one, and I urge your passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not Senator Walker. Do you wish to close?
Nope.
She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2495. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin. Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney,
yes.
Voting no, Burdick, Hass, Nelson, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2495, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Walker, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to do a vote explanation, because if I left anyone with the impression that I became Rogue of the Week over this bill, it was not this bill. It is another bill that you will see, House Bill 2315, that I made Rogue of the Week for wanting to hold back public records. So just want to clear that up. Just love the quote and wanted to throw it in. Thank you.
All right. The rogue status has been clarified. Other business of the Senate. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats, please go directly to caucus, and we will attempt to get you out by 12:15.
Thank you. Is there further announcements? If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 a.m. Thursday, March 26.